tonight is our duty to Christ, our duty to Christ. And the first duty that we have to Christ is to know Him, get to know Him. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10. Philippians. Backing up just a little bit to verse 9, we'll start at verse 9 and then go to verse 10. It says, and being found in Him. So Philippians 3:9 is talking to somebody who is a believer. And then it goes on and says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. It's important for us to understand that when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, Christ's righteousness is imputed or given to us, put on our account. Why do we need that? I'll tell you why we need it, because all of our righteousnesses are as, what, filthy rags, all right? So, and being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, not your good works and all that kind of stuff, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So, once we make a decision for Christ, we have a duty to pursue for the rest of our lives. I hope that none of you feel that you've arrived, because here it is. It says, that I may know Him. Really get to be acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. Now, when we're saved, we do have that resurrection power in and through us that is afforded us by the Lord. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Why do we go through difficulties? Why do we experience the things that we experience in life? It says, being made conformable unto His death. We need to be more like Jesus this year than we were last year. We need to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ more intimately this year than we did the last year. We need to be moving forward for the cause of Christ. We can't live on last year's blessings any more than you can live on last week's food. You need new food moment by moment, day by day. You need nourishment in drink or refreshment in drink. And we need to be drinking of the living water of the Lord. And the only way to be drinking of the living water of the Lord is to get into His Word. And I hope that by now in your Christian life, it isn't just a superficial getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you go deeper into it. You're actually studying God's Word. There's a difference between studying God's Word than just reading God's Word. A lot of people read God's Word, and I think it's a good thing to read God's Word and to read through God's Word, but I also think it's very important for us to study God's Word, that is, get in there and look at the words and look at the context and see what is there, meditate on it, think through it, try and get all of the good out of a passage of Scripture that you're studying that you can. One of the things that we've taught in the past, Christian Heritage School of Bible and Theology on Monday evenings, is how to use the concordance and how to look up the words, because originally the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, the New Testament was written in Greek. And certainly you can grow, but you can get more of the color and flavor of what's being spoken of if you get under there and discover what a word is in the original, and finding out what kind of love is being talked about. Find out whether it's the agapeo love, that is the love that God has for us and that we should have for Him, that's giving without expecting anything in return. Or whether it's the friendship love, the Philadelphia love, as you study the Word of God, you can get the rich nuances in it. And so, that I might know Him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Are you more like Jesus now than you were 2 years ago? I hope that you can see some discernible growth in your life. Number two, turn with me to John chapter 5 and in verse 23. In John chapter 5, in verse 23, it says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Do you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? What does the word honor mean? If you look that word up, it means to respect. It means to revere. We need to go beyond the superficial level of grasping who the Lord Jesus Christ is and learn to have a great respect for the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and his care for us. I trust that it's not this way with you, but the world, to the world, Jesus Christ is pretty much just a swear word. They Jesus this, they Jesus that, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ is so much more. When you consider the love that he has for us, that he would willingly put aside the independent exercise of his attributes and his powers, take upon the form of a man, and suffer the things that he suffered, endure the things that he endured, so that he could identify with us and be the faithful high priest. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like as we are, here's the key, yet without sin. A sinless Savior who can identify with your feelings, can identify with your trials, can identify with your pressures. I'm thinking of when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays, and he prays several times. He says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I'm glad that he didn't back out. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We need to honor the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us. Colossians tells us that our sins were taken there to his cross and nailed with him there. Aren't you glad that your sins are gone? You will not be condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. And so we need to learn to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you let people know that you revere the Lord Jesus Christ, that you respect the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the same way that you would let anybody else know that they're respected. You would speak highly of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You tell others what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. You give testimony to the fact of the salvation of your soul and how grateful you are for that. You use every opportunity to try and turn the conversation around to things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you speak reverently of him. You uphold him. You magnify him. Psalm 34 says, let us magnify the Lord together. And you know, when you magnify something, you make something big. You cannot make Jesus Christ bigger than He is. Uplift Him. That's how you honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And show that you honor Him by doing what He says. It's very interesting. Who is honoring their father if the father tells them to do something and the son says, "Okay, Dad, I'll go right away and do that," and then he doesn't do it? That's not honoring anybody. So if you love the Lord, you should keep His what? Commandments. Of course, we'll be talking about the love of Christ in a little bit more. But honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Show your respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. Revere the Lord Jesus Christ. Share with people what great things the Lord has done for you. The third point that I'm dealing with this evening is found in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6. Turn with me to Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. And beware, lest any man spoil you." The word spoil means to take you captive, to seduce you. "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." So, back to the verse, "Therefore, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Somebody who claims that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and there is no change in their life, you have a right to say, you should examine yourself and find out whether you're in the faith. Because while works don't save, saved men and women do good works. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, quote it if you know it by heart. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So that says, you're not saved by your works, but I want to tell you something. How you demonstrate that you are saved is walking in them. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath ordained ahead of time, planned ahead of time, that saved people should walk so as to please Him. Walk in Him. It's like somebody who studies to be a medical doctor and has spent all the money and all the time to be a medical doctor and then sells insurance. "Oh, what are you, medical doctor?" "Oh, yeah, I'm a medical doctor." "How many patients have you seen?" "None." "Have you ever done any surgeries?" "No." "Where's your practice?" "I don't have any." You think that's funny, but I know a person who's like that. They studied to be a medical doctor and never did anything with it. They do something completely outside of the realm of what they were trained for. And I'm just saying is when Jesus Christ comes into our life and saves us, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is to be a difference in your life. Remember the little song? The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. For there's a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great, great change. That's how we demonstrate that we are genuinely saved. I've done my best to try and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ through the years. And one of the things that is disturbing to me, though, in the church that I pastored before this one, except for two Sundays in the 5 years that I was there, somebody made a profession of faith every week except for two Sundays that I was there. I've been back there a time or two, and my great worry is that a number of them must have been my converts and not the Lord's. Because you know what? They're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ at all. Now, it's our job to witness and to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's job to save them. But what I'm saying is some people make false decisions, make emotional decisions, and the Lord's really not in their life, and there is no change in their life. And I'm glad that God keeps the books. I'm also thankful that I talked with a fellow a while back. We had a close relationship with the school, and it happened to be that the head basketball coach, came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. My wife and I went over and knocked on his door, and he and his wife let us in, and we talked, and he found out that I was a printer and he was a printer, so we talked about everything and anything, and I almost left without telling him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, the man got saved. As I recall, his wife is already saved, and they lived and served the Lord Jesus Christ through many, many years. So there's good stories, but also there's heartbreaks where people do the 1, 2, 3, pray after me situation, and there's no change in their life, and they just are like the dog. They go back to their vomit and start licking up their vomit. And you say, that's a horrible story. Well, that's what the Bible calls it. I'm just giving you a Bible illustration. And there's been no change in their life. So, kind of talking to the choir, you're here on a Sunday evening, but we need to walk in Christ. When we get saved, our Christianity is not to be merely a Sunday morning exercise. It is to be Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, 365, 24, 7, 24, 365, 7 days a week. 52 weeks a year, 65 days, and a quarter, actually. There's a quarter of a day there. Why? Every 4 years, there's what? A leap year, all right? When somebody asks me to do something and I don't want to do it, I just tell them I'll do it on February 29th, mark it down. Well, you got the point. One of the greatest blessings is to see your children who grew up in your household, and, you know, they have to toe the line. At least they did in my household. They had to toe the line. But when they get older and they make what we have taught from the Scriptures their own, that's the greatest blessing of all. Walk in Christ. I want to move along quickly here. We've got two more. Love Christ. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I am so thankful for the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. I learned about God's love from the Scriptures early on as a kid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We love him because he first loved us. He took the first step in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to demonstrate the agape love of God. We need to demonstrate, it says, whom having not seen, ye agape, ye love. We talk about what a friend we have in Jesus, but it needs to be much deeper than that. We need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with a deep, abiding love. And I am sure that that's why many of you, at least I trust that it is, that's why you teach Sunday school, that's why you sing in the choir, that's why you're here to prepare food at the banquets. That's why on Thursday night you're knocking on doors. That's why you give of your offerings and your tithes. That's why you do those things. Why? Because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to demonstrate the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, I hope you don't spend all your time. We live in difficult times. I understand that. Sometimes I quit reading all the bad news. That can be real discouraging. I don't want you to go around like a Christian who has sucked on 97 lemons and you look like you have no joy in your life, because one of the things that it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What do I have to rejoice about? My name's written in glory. When I take my last breath in this life, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Glory! And it's all right with me. Even so, come Lord Jesus, if this sentence was the last word out of my mouth and we got raptured. And I'm hoping if that would take place, there wouldn't be anybody just sitting here wondering, where did everybody else go? Got all these little piles of clothes sitting here, and where did everybody else go? Well, glorified bodies. And we're clothed with his righteousness. What do you think that means? I just think that there's going to be a glow around us. And I'm just looking forward to having that glorified body. Mine started going downhill when I was 50. Now I'm doing my best to keep it going. I had a wonderful time bike riding on Saturday. And I do that regularly for exercise. But we need to rejoice when we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ hath prepared for us. We have a wonderful retirement that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for us. And if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you've done it for the right motives, guess what? You're going to be rewarded for it. Now, I don't think you're going to go around and, because I just don't think, I sin, pride, sin, I don't think you're going to go around and say, oh, look, I got more crowns than you got. You must have been a real sucker in your life and didn't serve the Lord. No, I don't think at all. It is my speculation, though, you can't definitively say that this is what's going to happen. But there is some inference in the scripture that when we get those rewards, what we're going to do is cast them at the feet of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. I think that's the least that we could do. Well, let me get to the last one and then we'll be done. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Rejoicing in Christ. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. The word rejoice there means to boast or glory or exalt. Kind of like what we were talking about in honoring and revering and respecting in John chapter 5. But you want something to brag about? Brag about Jesus. You can't go wrong bragging about Jesus. Brag about how he saved you. Brag about how he answered your prayers. Brag about how that he sustained you in difficult times in Philippians 3:3. For we are of the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. Everything that I have that's any good, everything that I've done that's any good, I owe it all to Jesus.